All right, we have the number that we need, it's 604. We'll go ahead and get started, I'll call this meeting. Good evening, everyone, my name is Kenneth Rigdon, and I'm the president of the Citizen Police Complaint Board. We're grateful to the P30 Community Center for allowing us to host our meeting here tonight. It's a fabulous building, I'm going off script just a little. It's a fabulous building, I had never noticed it before, so I was quite surprised when I came inside, it was very nice. Our goal is to provide residents with an opportunity to closely observe and better understand the complaint process and to learn about the types of complaints the board reviews. Thank you for attending today. This meeting is held for the primary purpose of reviewing the various complaints that are listed on the agenda. While reviewing the cases, the board will allow 5 minutes of comments from the complaint and 5 minutes of comments from the officers involved. The board will not accept any additional testimony or comments from other persons attending the meeting. Only the board members or support staff will be allowed to participate in the proceedings. The board also asks that those in attendance not engage in anything that would be distracting, whispering, cell phone use, otherwise. As the board conducts its business, the board's task is to review the investigation conducted by the Internal Affairs Unit of the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department on each individual case. The board does not have within its power the authority to determine the legality of a ticket or not issued, or arrest made or not made. The board is only empowered to review whether the officer followed the given IMPD rules or orders when issuing the ticket or making that arrest. A vote will be taken to either endorse or not endorse the findings of the Internal Affairs Unit. One of the following dispositions has been recommended by the Internal Affairs for each allegation in the case. Sustained means that there is sufficient evidence to prove the allegation or allegations made in the complaint by clear and convincing evidence. Number two, not sustained means that there is insufficient evidence to prove or disprove the allegations made in the complaint by clear and convincing evidence. The next one is exonerated, which means that the incident occurred but is lawful and proper, or the allegations found to be false or not factual. Unfounded means that the incident did or did not occur, or is false or not factual. The board thanks you for your attendance and sincerely hopes that you understand the limits of the board's authority and its purpose in the civilian review process. At this time, we make sure we have everybody present that's supposed to be present. Nobody is missing.
I apologize.
No worries, none at all. Did you make a note of what's happening? Great. Okay, on our agenda today, let's have the officer report.
All right, well, thank you, Mr. President. I guess I'll start my office report with the second agenda item, which is the introduction of our new staff members. So as of now, we are fully staffed. So I'm happy to introduce our newest intake specialist and board recording secretary, Ayana Webb. Say hi.
Hi.
Ayana, this is her first day, actually.
Oh.
She's been seeing a lot about how the office functions and obviously how the board is going to function this evening. So,
can you spell her first name, please?
Ayana, A-Y-A-N-N-A. And so I'll give a brief introduction. Ayana Webb is a native of Chicago, Illinois. She moved to Indianapolis 13 years ago. She attended Ivy Tech Community College, receiving her Associate of Science degree in psychology. She then continued her studies at Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis, IUPUI, now known as IUI, and successfully earned her Bachelor of Arts degree in psychology with a minor in criminal justice, graduating just this past May. Ayana aspires to have a career in the federal government, hoping to make a meaningful impact. So we're happy to have her. Also joining us is Cooper Lawler. He will be serving as our Urban Leaders Fellow, and he hails from Lexington, Kentucky. Currently, he is enrolled at the University of Cincinnati, where he is working towards two masters. one in community planning and the other in sociology. Previously, he attended the University of Kentucky, earning a bachelor's of arts degrees in both international studies and sociology while obtaining a peace studies certificate. In his professional career, he has served as a case manager for adolescents and individuals with disabilities, as a college coach for high school students, and as a community organizer on various political campaigns. And so he'll be here until mid-July working on some community outreach and engagement projects for the office. And so we're thrilled to have them on our team and eager to see their impact on the office and in the community. As far as the office report, during the month of May, the CPCO had 270 contacts with members of the public. We had 25 walk-ins, 55 emails, and 190 calls. In addition to that, 6 complaints were completed and submitted to the office. Second item in front of you, you all have your training records for the second quarter so far. If there are any discrepancies, let me know and I will get those rectified. And then, lastly, there will be a civilian board training on July 6th at the IMPD Training Academy. And so far, in terms of those who plan to attend, I have Cordy, Abdullah, Dykus, Jeffers, Bond, and Thomas. Is anybody else you plan on attending?
I'll be there. All day?
Yes.
8 hours or 6?
8.
All right, everybody had a chance to review the minutes from last month?
Yes.
Any additions, deletions, or corrections we need to make?
No.
All those in favor to accept the minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, unanimous consent. I usually would ask somebody to make a motion to accept them, but I think you are. Yeah. Can you add more? You want to follow up there?
Yes.
Okay.
So before you, you all should have the chief's response to the board's finding from last month's meeting involving Officer Scott. If you remember, Officer Scott was the officer who had pushed the individual during the encounter in what the board believed was in an escalatory fashion. And so you all disagreed with IA's recommended finding of exonerated, and before you is the chief's response, and I'll now turn it over to Ethan to discuss what the board's options are.
Happy to do so. So after the complaint board reviews both the chief's response and the IA finding, obviously first we're reviewing the IA finding and the chief will respond to whatever the finding is of the board. Following the receipt of the chief's response, the board can take one of three actions. And this would all be by majority vote. But I would remind everybody that the ordinance technically requires 5 affirmative votes to take any action. So don't let the term majority vote be decent on this. 5 votes in favor. Of the three items, 1, order the director to conduct an investigation into the allegations of the complaint. If that's confusing, I would refer to Richard's previous investigation as a preliminary findings. I don't know, there wouldn't be that much more of an expanded scope per se, but let's say it would be very similar to what has been done already. The second option, conduct an informal administrative hearing on the complaint. That would be different than what we routinely do in the course of business. To my understanding, speaking with my predecessor, Ellen Gavovich, who some of you on the board longer might be familiar with, that route hasn't happened in a few years. It was a much more formal process. Specifically for the hearing, individuals will be sworn in under oath. And there's a notice requirement of 15 days for all witnesses and parties. So just think of it as a more formal hearing than what we normally do. The third option, order the director to engage in a process of informal mediation to attempt to resolve the complaint. You might, that's similar to what Richard might do generally, but it would have the backing of the board supporting its disposition. So those are the three possibilities. I'd be happy to go over again. But just as a reminder, because the math is kind of funny, 5 votes are required to take an action.
Well, we could drive dialogue.
I really don't see any benefit to the first two options. The video is pretty clear to me what happened. I don't know that further investigation or testimony is going to replace the video that we saw. I mean, I thought we all saw it. I thought that it was pretty unreasonable. It didn't look like he was trying to get in his car. He kind of lazily took a step toward his car, and the officer just pushed him pretty forcefully in the chest. And so I guess the third option would be my vote, because the first two don't really seem to, they seem more like a waste of time.
Yeah, what else will we uncover?
Right.
It's a tough position because in my mind, you talk about the use of force, because I think that the person who's the expert in the use of force, the comment they made, I guess it depends on where you, your thought process at the time that the force took place as to whether that amount of force would be reasonable or not, are used correctly. So, again, I'm not sure what benefit we would get by reexamining or sending our executive director in there and telling him to find more facts out. I mean, the video is what it is. We don't, either we believe it or not. Anybody else?
I do just want to briefly say the fourth option is to not do anything. Right? So just know that you could not take any action additionally. So.
The third option was mediation.
The third option, correct. Order the director to engage in the process of informal mediation to attempt to resolve the complaint.
I agree. I don't think that there's, I just don't see, you know, the other two are basically investigating more, doing more hearing, and yeah, what new information? I don't think there's new information. I really wish Chief Bailey explained it and then shared more of his thinking in his message.
I just think when you take his point of view, I mean, his point of view is just regarding the force. I mean, it depends on what you believe is taking place, actually took place, whether the force was justified in engaging the individual, whether he just ran out of patience.
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but evidently there was a bench trial and he was convicted, and so there obviously was some basis for convicting him. So that's different from, and I was not at this meeting. There obviously was a different interpretation of what happened.
I think it was a conviction for resisting law enforcement.
Yeah, and there's two, I think. What was the other one?
And that was a good one. There was a language, was it a language issue?
I may have been disorderly conduct. Some, there were both. But I also wonder if he represented himself at a bench trial.
That's right.
And so the conviction doesn't necessarily mean a ton to me, especially if a pro se so-called sovereign citizen represents themselves at a bench trial. It's a little different for me than if someone has an attorney representing them on those charges, as far as burden of proof, objecting, all sorts of things. So the conviction doesn't mean that much to me.
And I'm with you, but I think for a different reason. The fact that he was convicted of a crime doesn't mean the officer did not act improperly. That's entirely, you know, it's entirely possible for the guy to be guilty of a crime and for the officer to not have conducted himself properly. So yeah, you know, additionally, the suspect was convicted of resisting. Good to know. Not really relevant, in my mind, not really relevant to what we're discussing.
I remember the resisting would have come after he was knocked down on the ground.
Right.
Yes.
Not usual for people to be trying to get their bearings about themselves and
right.
Moving around.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was a failure to identify as well as the other charge here.
Yeah. One of the issues that I had with the officer's conduct was there seemed to be no effort to de-escalate. They were very aggressive and they seemed to be escalating the situation and making it worse. And then as words were being discussed, yeah, where the officer just Heisman Trophy armed him right in the chest. At which point the other officer dove in. Yeah, like I say, I would appreciate if Chief Bailey had explained why he felt differently than we did on that.
So in the end, being new to this, what is the desired outcome the chief wants? I mean, what's going to happen if we don't do anything, and what's going to happen if we change our mind?
Well, we'd explore a new area that we haven't been in a long time. I don't know that we've had the situation come up. We've been talking on the board for a little while. The after effects of our decisions. One of y'all is going to take us through.
We can't compel a certain disciplinary action, in my understanding. It's basically the bottom line. If that answers the question, I guess, fully.
Well, the chief's weighing in here, and he obviously has a different opinion. So I'm just trying to get to what's really at stake here. I mean, is somebody's career at stake?
It's the disciplinary action that can be taken based on the officer's employment, which is, to another member's point a second ago, separate than the whether or not the criminal act occurred. This is just basically, do we feel, as in our citizen oversight capacity, that we should discipline this officer because he or she violated this point of police policy?
And what would come, for example, does anybody have any experience here on the informal mediation? Is that getting both parties in the room and just having an apology and sort of,
I think that's where it would start.
Yeah, in the new process too, I talked to the executive director about it. And, no, we don't know. I was like, there should be an independent mediator there in order to push both sides towards the solution. But since we haven't gone there, we don't really know how it works to get there. That's a tough one. I just think that everybody's looking at it from different points of view. I think the chief is looking at it from the point of view after the game. And he may have followed department policy on how you're supposed to engage a person, you know, when you're trying to handcuff them or whatever.
I agree, Ed. It sounds like the remediation is the only one that's actually going to go anywhere. Have we ever gotten an email from the chief before?
Not since I've been here.
Okay.
We're
all kind of in uncharted waters here. I think this is year three or four for me, and I don't remember ever that the chief emailed Richard, but you know, us to say he disagreed.
I remember he's been the chief.
I was going to point that out. I mean, he's been the chief for the last couple of 90 days. Mm-hmm. You know, you wonder if he's just standing up for his people.
Yeah. That's what he wanted to do.
I'm sorry, people. I went to leave the car.
In this day and age, we all understand.
To your right.
Goodbye. I turned mine off. You bring her off. They bring clothes and beans. Everybody's there.
They don't bring me anyway. Maybe I'll cut it off. Just kidding.
So, I mean, you know, I'm at the point where I think mediation probably is a good solution. Let's see what we can work with. Take to the process.
Yes, sir. I'll second that.
Yeah, that's a
motion.
And that's going to be my question. You make a motion, you second it, just yes. Anything else?
All right, so somebody else actually.
I will make the motion.
Second.
All right. Any further discussion? Those.
The other option is just doing nothing.
Right.
The unwritten option.
Leave it as is.
That's the other option. That's option four that he didn't give.
It wasn't listed. As they understood. It implied we may do three things. It implied not to anything.
And what is the accuracy with the harm and moving as it stands?
That we disagree with the chief.
Yeah.
But I don't think it looks very good on us not to try to work towards a solution. There's no guarantee that we'll reach the solution. Might be good to get in there and hear what they have to say in their point of view. Yeah, I understand.
No, it's a good point. And action sometimes can be the wisest course of action. But But yeah, I feel like if we're like, oh, the chief doesn't agree, all right then, it kind of undermines what we're doing, I feel, you know.
It would help to talk through the process too, I think, as to what point and how we should be looking at everything.
Sure.
My point with the chief has been that we need more collaborative training as a group. And it just makes it extremely difficult when they only offer the hours at odd times where, like, if we had some sort of virtual way of tapping in and being able to review things, I think we'd reach a different conclusion about some of the stuff that we have before us.
That's a very good point.
I don't want to ask because I'm also taking into consideration the person that we would be
interviewing
and how far it could go.
Which person? Talking about our the guy who came before us.
Mr. Elmore?
I didn't plan on him going to the meeting. It was just the executive director, maybe myself or our council.
Okay. Cool.
I think that is them for them to work toward a solution.
Oh.
Because we've already done a fact finding with an individual.
All right. Okay.
In our point of view. Maybe we can sit down with them and decide what happened as we look at the video together. That might be a better way of resolving the issue.
Just make sure.
Yeah. This is new territory, so everybody speak up. Group is much stronger than one. So we have a motion before us, been brought before and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Sounds like the ayes have it. All right, the next case we have for review is Ms. Williams. Is the complainant present today?
Complainant is not present.
All right, anybody like to volunteer on bringing forth her information? There's a summary that they put together for us. Somebody could actually read the summary and probably get this going. All right.
On March 2nd, 2023, at approximately 7:39 p.m., IMPD Officer Brian Reed Jr. was dispatched to report of an accident with personal injury located at Kessler Boulevard and Roberta Drive. Upon arrival, Officer Reed Jr. first walked over to Ms. Williams, whom paramedics were treating, to ascertain her condition before heading over toward assisting Officer Isaac Mitchell Harris. He was getting information from Maria Michelle Salas, the driver of the white Grand Cherokee involved in the crash. Officer Reed Jr. then talked to Glenn Journey, the driver of a red Acura, who was also involved in the crash. Mr. Journey confirmed that Ms. Williams was behind him on her trike before the accident. Later, while speaking with Ms. Williams' family, Officer Reed Jr. advised that he would not be placing Ms. Williams in the crash report, saving his belief that she was not involved in the accident and she was also intoxicated. Following her release from the hospital, Ms. Williams filed a formal complaint with the Citizens Police Complaint Office. According to the complaint, Officer Reed Jr. allegedly had not accurately reported the traffic accident she was involved in, which resulted in her being thrown off her trike and injured. Ms. Williams claimed that Officer Reed Jr. did not speak to her at the scene and instead told her sister and daughter that she would not be included in the crash report because she smelled of alcohol, which was untrue. Ms. Williams further alleged that Officer Reed Jr. did not administer a portable breath test to confirm Ms. Williams' alcohol level despite his suspicions of her being under the influence. According to Ms. Williams, Officer Reed Jr.'s failure to include her in the crash report prevented her insurance claim from proceeding. Ms. Williams believed that Officer Reed Jr.'s actions violated IMPD Rules and Regulations Section 4.0 and IMPD Rules and Regulations Section 7.A. Is that right? Thank you. I'm still looking up. The investigation found that the requirement was met for Officer Reed Jr. to complete a crash report, given that Ms. Williams was injured and suspected of being intoxicated. Also, Officer Reed Jr. stated he used discretion and decided not to conduct an OVWI investigation since no property was damaged and Ms. Williams' family was on scene to tow the truck. Based on the information gathered during the investigation, investigators recommended sustained findings for IMPD Rules and Regulations Section 4.0 and IMPD Rules and Regulations Section 7.A. section four is neglect of duty, and that was sustained. And section seven is substandard performance, and that was also sustained. So from what I saw, it looked like you did not put her track into the incident report. Even though it was, there are pictures of it, and her insurance, it looks like.
She wasn't able to make the claim because it wasn't properly documented that she was involved in the crash.
So. And she said she got her toxicology report back, which said that she didn't have enough medication also, so that also was not helpful in her claim.
Right. Just to add on just a little bit, they found that she had ribs that were cracked, and she has some other problems. She ended up spending 2 or 3 days in the hospital as a result of that. Later found out that she had suffered from a stroke before, which probably accounted for the slurred speech. One of the things that she said in the report was that she was not off her trike, but I never did see any additional evidence of how that would have happened, because the trike didn't seem to have any damage to it. And nobody has said that they saw another car or something strike her, but she clearly was injured.
So. The ditch.
I don't know if the trike, though, I don't know if the trike hit her and caused the injury. I'm not sure exactly. I couldn't understand what actually.
She turned and, like, fell or tried to avoid her accident.
Yeah. I think the officer was trying to do the right thing and making sure that she didn't get a drunk driving case as a result, because he thought she had been there, because he could have easily started administering the test to her. So for whatever reason, he did not follow through as he should have. That was my take on it, is that he was not completely forthright in taking a report from her. He should have. The criteria says if it's more than $1,000 for the damage in addition to someone being injured, they should follow through and make a report. He just didn't include it with the other two cars, or he could have done a report with the two cars and then separate with her and whoever hit her and knocked her off the truck, which is very unfortunate. So that's just my take. Anybody else have a different take on it?
Well, that's certainly my take, but I think just reading this through a separate lens, and thank you for the additional information, because that actually has happened to me before. Someone had a stroke in their vehicle and didn't mean 6 other cars. I share that similar take, but it just seems like he was viewing her from, like, that's great if he didn't want her to get a DUI, but I just think it's kind of unfair to assume that was her activity and not treat her as a crash victim at first.
Oh, it smelled alcohol that wasn't there.
I mean,
somebody else would.
Well, she didn't have it in her system. It wasn't in her system.
No, I mean, she has zero alcohol, and they were confident it would come out that way. So.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was just kind of, some of it was bizarre. They said that smell of odor of alcoholic beverage coming from inside the ambulance, which is a very common sign of intoxication for officers working any accident, especially in lower temperature weather. I'm like, what does that
mean? That got to do with.
That was kind of bizarre.
Drugs.
And then he says he knows how insurance in Indiana handles the incidents, but he still didn't help her out.
Right.
I'm like, what is he doing? And he had the evidence that the one driver said his car could have clipped her vehicle, and whether it was damaged or not, apparently it broke her frame or something like that. So I don't know what harm it would be just to put in like a sentence like that was also trouble. It wouldn't take much time. It's just kind of a bizarre scenario that I don't understand why he didn't do something. He
could have tested her.
He could have done any number of things.
Not only that, somebody on the scene told the people not to get the information,
right.
Contact information.
Right.
Again, it's about 20.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like the consensus is we sustain the findings for both.
Yeah,
I'll make a motion.
Move to sustain both.
Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Very good. All right, on to the next one. Ms. Chaplin, anybody volunteer to take your vote?
can do it.
Okay.
August 2nd, 2023, at approximately 6:34 a.m., IMP officer Dustin Provine was dispatched to the scene of an accident on Rockville Road in Lynnhurst Drive. Upon arrival, Officer Provine first spoke to Anise Chaplin and then Osha Lalu. Hope I'm saying that right. Retrieving their information and versions of the events, Officer Provine returned to his patrol car to input the party's information into the CAD system and complete a case card, which was then given to the parties. Following the accident, Ms. Chaplin filed a formal complaint with the Citizens Police Complaint Office. According to Ms. Chaplin's complaint, Officer Provine allegedly failed to file the crash report after the accident. Officer Provine was also alleged to have failed to activate his body-worn camera, BWC, during the run. Ms. Chaplin believed Officer Provine violated General Order 4.32, Section 2C, and IMPD Rules and Regulations 4.0. The investigation found that Officer Provine responded to a crash and indicated he would complete a crash report but did not ensure the crash report was transmitted before the new version of the reporting system was implemented. The investigation also found that Officer Provine did not manually activate his BWC when he arrived to investigate the crash. Based on the information gathered during the investigation, investigators recommended sustained findings for General Order 4.32, Section 2C, and IMPD Rules and Regulations 4.0. And General Order 4.32, Section 2, Subsection C, activating the BWC system, sustained. IMPD Rules and Regulations, Section 4, Subsection O, neglect of duty, sustained. Basically, this was because he failed to submit the report prior to a new system being implemented.
Anybody have any thoughts on this? Yes.
I'm typically, thank you, Mr. President. In the past, when we've had cases like this, I'm typically pretty prejudicial when the officer doesn't activate his body camera, simply because it's there. It's there for everyone's protection, including the officers. And I think when they do forget to turn it on, when it is deactivated, I often think that was either incredibly absent-minded or, well, in this case, I think it was incredibly absent-minded of him. The other part, in addition, where he says he completed the report but forgot to submit it, and by the time he realized he hadn't submitted it, the new system had been implemented. That just sounds like real sloppy work. That just sounds like he was being very sloppy about all of this. And so, certainly personally, I agree that both the complaint is valid on both points.
Anybody else?
I agree completely. But I do have a question for our lawyers. Are these citizens?
You got about six lawyers in the room.
You have to narrow that down.
For our citizens that have these experiences where complaints aren't filed or the accident reports aren't filed in both of these cases, are they made? Does the department send something? Does something happen to help them, or in terms of the crash report?
I don't know
yet. I don't know specifically to that point. I would think that the crash report itself would be the nexus to any sort of follow-up with that, though. But that's just intuitive. I don't know anything else regarding that.
Yeah, I think we just kind of bug them until they get in the system to get a copy of it so they can. And I think what she probably could have done and should have done was, and made it easy on us, write what happened in an email. She had an email. Here's what happened. He'd probably just copy and paste it, and then she turns it into insurance, and you've got your police report. It's probably the best course of action if this happens to a citizen, but I think you really just got to bug the police until they get you a police report.
Yeah, it seems like she had that Ford Fusion. I mean, yeah, that Fusion. She hadn't had it in a month. and the guy hit it, and they want her, she didn't have gap insurance, so basically that was like the.
And just, didn't she just lose her job too?
Yeah.
Well, she was walking to work, I think, first. Yeah, so she ended up getting up early, 5, and then she didn't live very far, was. It's 2 miles that she got up to walk to work, to make sure she had a transportation, and then because he didn't act, the insurance company only, they withdrew the rental car that they gave her. So.
That's what I'm saying, I mean, is there, you know, you'd like to think that it'd be made whole at some point because of that, somebody else screwed up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Damage, one, I don't know if she had uninsured, underinsured insurance, but that's just a good example of why you need that. Two, she could sue the guy that hit her, that's how you get recourse and try to get a judgment against him, but then if he's judgment proof and doesn't have any money, you're still kind of the same.
Right.
So was.
Bringing me down.
Sorry. This is the, T-boned her, I think he T-boned her by failing to acknowledge the stoplight for whatever reason.
And it's one of, to your point, it's one of those classic examples of where one bad day can just screw up someone's whole life as everything.
Right.
You know.
Especially if she's upside down in her phone with the car, that makes it even worse.
She was already having a bad day and then.
So I think we're ready for vote, if you want to make a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept both findings of sustained.
Second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? You know, it's a yes. All right, we got through that, we have some announcements.
Just a reminder of the community member scenario based training event that's happening at the NPD Academy on June 25th from 5 p.m. to 9 a.m. So I have a couple of you down as having planned to attend, so if anybody else is interested, shoot me an email or let me know after this meeting. That's all I have, Mr. President.
I'm sorry, Richard. What was the first training we talked about earlier in the day?
The civilian war training on July 6th.
Thank you. Remember, some riding time.
Absolutely. Got to be built riding out there.
Yeah, I was going to say something about that. If you've not had an opportunity to go out there and spend some time with the officers patrolling, I really encourage you to do it. It's a really good experience. I need some time for this year myself, and so I'm going to make that connection to try to get out there. I did try to connect with one of the deputies. I think his name at the moment. But anyway, he said, I sit in front of the computer all day. That won't be very exciting. So that's another area to be worried about. Yes?
I'd also like to put out there, we've had NACOL, the National Association of Civilian Oversight.
Law enforcement.
Thank you. They came and spoke with us. They do about usually once a month, they do, and it's done virtually, but they do a seminar type thing where somebody comes in and talks about a topic and related to this. And I usually try to catch them if I can catch them on my lunch break, and they're typically pretty interesting. So just putting that out there.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to find a connection with the police department to get some virtual training in and somehow allow us to patch in from our working desk and whatnot. I mean, nobody's getting paid anything except to be the virtual. The rest of us are volunteers, and it's kind of hard to break away and do 4 hours here, 5 hours there, 2 hours, you know, just kind of tough on us. So that's just my thought. Yeah. Oh, one last thing. The summary that we received on these reports was absolutely outstanding. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said we could just go to reading the summary. Thus far, it makes it easier for everybody, much different than when we started. You just read the whole thing. I still read the whole thing and go through it, but the summary was outstanding. So whoever's responsible for that, Mr. Ellis, Executive Director, we appreciate you making our work a lot easier. Anybody else have any other comments?
I said this to Richard, that those that attended the most recent training at the academy, I thought I was only able to be there for half of it, but I thought it was very, very good. Mm-hmm. And it was done by the Southwest District Commander, which I think is unusual. because she, I think, actually taught at the academy, so she had an affinity for it and understands how important it is. And so I thought it was very good.
Yeah,
she related very well with the student, the cadet.
Right. I think the more information we get, the more we'll be able to close the gap between our views from the police department as well as us, and apply our common sense to the situations that we have. All right, Mr. Executive Director, have you covered everything?
You have.
You have. Counsel, anything else?
All good.
Seeing no further business, I hereby move for adjournment, and we'll see you next time.